This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
The droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fume. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're chatting all about Rogue One news at a celebration. So we're about to get started. Sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Nancy, what's going on with these series of episodes we're doing?
Well, if you haven't listened to the past two episodes, you should go do that. But we are trying to catch up on all the celebration news, so we're doing a topic per show. So we've already talked about the teaser trailer and the Rebels news, and now we've got Brian from EU Cantina on to talk about all the Rogue One news because he was at the panel at Celebration. So yes, it's going to be confusing. We have two Brians.
You can recognize me by my melodious baritone.
So Brian, thanks for coming on the show. And
thanks for having me.
And before we start, can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
So like you said, my name is Brian Novicki. I write for EU Cantina when I have the time, which is not as much as I would like lately. And I am hugely excited for new Star Wars movies, especially the anthologies, because it's basically the new expanded universe.
Yes. Have we had you on the show before, Brian?
Like a year ago.
We did? Okay. We should do that more often, but
yeah, we're making a concerted effort to have more rotating panel guests on the show. So
yeah.
Sounds good.
So before we get started, let's go to the stingers.
The stingers. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Fill out your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
And that brings us right into the discussion topic this week, and that is Rogue One, the first of the standalone films. Although, do we want to segue into talking about that breaking news first?
Yes.
We probably should do that.
Yes. Earlier this morning, I posted our blog post of what we wrote Celebration taught us about Rogue One, and I mentioned that the panel contained Pablo Hidalgo and Kiri Har and Kathleen Kennedy and also Gareth Edwards, the director. And it was also supposed to contain Josh Trank, who was going to direct the second standalone film, but he was not in attendance due to quote unquote the flu. Come to find out today, Lucasfilm announced just before the podcast started that Josh Trank is no longer directing the second anthology film.
Before we move on,
Mara, Chase,
our dogs are very disappointed by this news, as you can tell.
We're really excited for Josh Trank.
Yeah.
Each other's faces off after we're done recording.
I'll
knock it off.
Oh, it's fun times at Toshi Station Studio. Yeah, apparently Josh Trank is off, and someone new might be in.
I hope at some point someone new is in, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Cue the conspiracy theories and the...
apparently THR heard that Disney told Trank not to go. And yeah. Brian, you had... you'd read a little bit of what the rumblings were there.
Yeah, that's all I saw on THR, but a few months ago, probably just before Christmas. I also saw on various entertainment websites rumors about Trank's misconduct, you could say, during Fantastic Four filming. People were saying that he was showing up high and trashed a production house and just general unpleasantness. and the THR report said that Simon Kinberg, who produced Fantastic Four and is obviously also working on these Star Wars films, might have been getting cold feet working with Trank.
That's, I mean, it's disappointing, but I'm sure they'll find another director who would want to work on Star Wars.
It's disappointing on one hand because I really like some of the films Trank has done. Chronicle is one of my favorite films. But you can't behave like that and expect to continue working with Disney and Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
If those things are true.
Or they just might have just had creative differences and...
Entirely.
That's the interesting thing, though, is they didn't even say creative differences like they usually do. This is for personal decisions.
Reasons. Interesting.
Yeah, the whole press release kind of read as, we're letting you save face here. So.
And they're also kind of being really quiet about it. As far as I've seen, they haven't tweeted this article yet. It's not on the main page of StarWars.com. You have to go through to the news page. They're kind of trying to just shuffle this off on a Saturday night without people seeing it.
Yeah, the Friday night news dump to get it under the radar.
Yeah, that's kind of... Yeah.
So cue wild rampant speculation of who could direct the second film instead.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like we're going to hear concrete news about this movie for a while. Yeah. We still don't know much about.
I mean, I've seen some people say Edgar Wright, get Edgar Wright, but you know, if he didn't work with Marvel, he's probably not going to work here either.
Agreed.
Yeah. So that's the breaking news. Beep 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 beep. And now moving on to topics we actually know some things about now. We asked Brian to be on the podcast because he was at the Rogue One panel while the other Brian and I were busy podcasting. Not that we're bitter about the schedule or anything, but we were not at the panel because we were podcasting that morning and watching the news on Twitter. So if you listen to our live podcast celebration, you'll hear us talking about the panel as it's going on. But we wanted to run down the panel and the news and then do rampant speculation time.
I like rampant speculation.
Yes.
Especially about X-Wings.
Yeah. So first off, before we get into the news, Brian, just overall, your impressions of the panel. You are super excited about these anthology movies more than The Force Awakens, right?
Yes, definitely. The anthologies, as they're now called, have the opportunity to really branch out and do new things instead of just the Jedi versus Sith stories that we're used to. So I was really excited when I saw that there was going to be a Gareth Edwards, Josh Trank panel. And then I was surprised Sunday morning when that room did not even really come close to filling up.
That
I think
was
a lot of people were not expecting any real sort of news out of this, but you don't bring the directors if you're not going to give us something at least. And as we saw, we did get a lot of information, including finally knowing that they're called anthologies and not standalones.
Yes. So that was kind of one of the first bits of news, is that the branding is called anthology, and they unveiled the logo for Rogue One, and I'm assuming the other anthology films will have similar treatments going forward. So that was, just kind of basic news, not really something super exciting, although I do like the logo a lot. More than the Force Awakens logo. But then they actually gave us news about the plot of the movie, which was surprising. And first off, the Rogue One was described as a band of resistance fighters unite for a daring mission to steal the Death Star plans. So, if you had steal the Death Star plans in the Rogue One plotline pool, you win!
Which pretty much everyone did. Everyone splits the pot.
But will there be bounty hunters?
No.
I'm going to rant about that later.
Okay.
When we get to wild mass speculation.
So that was, first off, and what was your reaction to that, Brian?
I'm really excited about that for a couple of reasons. You know, confirming the time period mm-hmm. was something I really wanted to see, whether it was going to be in the original trilogy, post Return of the Jedi, you know, just where the movie fell was a big question mark.
Yeah.
And then it's exciting, as I think you mentioned in your post earlier today, that we'll have a canon locked down one version of the Death Star plans being stolen instead of the 20 versions of it we got in the expanded universe.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people get kind of annoyed with this, you know, that, oh, we've seen this story before. You know, I've seen people, like, look at The Force Awakens and they see, like, a Kylo Ren character who looks like Darth Revan and a Rey who could be like Jaina Solo. And they're like, well, we've done this already, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is that the Death Star plans has been told like a million times. Same with the formation of the Rebellion, which is why I'm not annoyed about Rebels telling that story. You know,
especially when they're doing such a good job of it.
When they're doing,
that's what people are forgetting, is that sure, we might have seen similar stories, but they're telling them really well so far.
And I'll go as far as saying they're telling them better than they've ever told it before. So go wild
and
if
they
you're
might,
do that.
I mean, they might take stuff from the expanded universe that we've, you know, seen about the Death Star plans. I mean, they might not take someone like Kyle Katarn, but they may create a similar type of character. They might create, you know, have the similar battle of, you know, that they had in the expanded universe. Kind of like, you know, Rebels, now they have Bail Organa working with the Rebellion, and they probably have other groups as well. So that's not to say nothing is going to make it. I'm sure they will take ideas, because that's what they've been doing. And then they gave us some news about Felicity Jones, who is the only confirmed cast member so far. She will be playing a Rebel soldier, which is awesome. And they said the film will focus on characters who do not have the ability to use the Force. Edwards stated, "It comes down to a group of individuals who don't have magical powers that have to somehow bring hope to the galaxy." And they didn't necessarily say this at the panel itself, but a lot of outlets are speculating that we're going to have a large ensemble cast because it's a war movie. So, you know, there'll be a squadron trying to steal the Death Star plans. So I like that, because that's one of my favorite things about the X-Wing books, is that even though they have their protagonists, it's a large group of characters and they don't have the Force.
And I want to lock into the phrase there, it comes down to a group of individuals who don't have magical powers. That is, there were people who said, well, it's not an X-Wing movie, ha 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 ha. But, okay, X-Wings are secondary to the tropes, or the main conceit of the X-Wing books, which is
Regular people
doing extraordinary things.
Yeah.
And this movie looks to be that, which makes me very, very happy.
Yeah, me too. With Jedi and Sith all the time, it gets, you know, too grand sometimes. You know, the deep good versus evil and big, powerful battles. But when you have the regular people, you can get into more of the shades of gray that we saw a little bit of during the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And they mentioned during this panel, it's going to be shades of gray with the cast, as opposed to these strong archetypal good versus evil. And that, I think, can make for a more interesting story.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're rebel soldiers. They're fighting a rebellion. You know, that in and of itself is, you know, for watching Star Wars, it's very easy to say, yes, the Empire is evil. They should rebel against them. But one of the things I love about the Servants of the Empire books by Jason Fry is that he makes it clear that it's not easy. you know, it's not so clear cut that, you know, which is good and which is evil when you're right in the thick of it. And, you know, I'd be interested to see some characters who are less likable, like what's his face from the X-Wing books or the Wraith books? Kasten
Dawn.
Yeah.
Kasten, I want to punch you in the face repeatedly, Dawn.
Yeah. Or, I mean, even someone like Corran, who's a protagonist, but he's kind of
arrogant. Corran, I want to punch you in the face repeatedly, Horn.
Yeah. I mean, he gets better, but he's kind of a arrogant jerk when he starts off.
For sure.
I know, Brian, you were very excited about this, because it'd be really weird to see a Star Wars movie with no Jedi. And kind of nice.
Yeah, like, it shows that they're willing to go in a new direction with these anthology films instead of just giving us a similar story but without a Skywalker.
Yeah. And John Knoll was also on the panel. He was on the panel, right?
Yeah, he was up briefly.
Yeah, and so he is the one who actually came up with the idea for Rogue One, and it was one of the first ideas that Kathleen Kennedy actually approved as head of Lucasfilm.
Yeah, it was funny at the panel. He was telling the story about how he was pitching it to coworkers at Lucasfilm and made it sound like he was really slowly developing this idea, and then eventually got a meeting with Kathleen Kennedy, and then Kathleen Kennedy made a point of saying, so this was like a week after I had even been in the building. So this Rogue One idea came about really quickly, it sounds like, and it sounded like everybody on the panel, Kathleen Kennedy, Kiri Hart of the story group, Pablo Hidalgo of the story group, everybody seemed really excited about the concept for Rogue One and that they had to get this movie made.
That's good that they seem that excited about it. I mean, I know their focus right now is on episode 7, and they wanted to put that out to get everyone's attention back on Star Wars, which they've done. But, you know, eventually the episodes are going to be over, and if they keep making movies, this is the kind of movies they're going to have to make. So, and then the thing that really pissed me off about missing this panel is that they actually produced a short teaser. ILM made a short teaser, and I don't know if you could still find it on YouTube, but you can go look for it. And I did actually see it on the YouTubes, and it looked really awesome.
Yeah, everybody in the arena for that panel was so amazed that we were getting anything like that. I think those of us that were there were expecting concept art at most.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that there was a teaser was mind-blowing enough as it was. And then the way the teaser goes, you have Obi-Wan Kenobi doing the voiceover about the dark times and how there's no Jedi as you fly over a really lush forest. And then you hear the TIE fighter flying by, and you see the TIE fighter moving towards the horizon, which has an enormous Death Star hovering right above, and it was just beautiful and perfect. And then it cut to the Rogue One title card and had really muffled background kind of warlike radio chatter, which really drove home the feel that this is going to be a war movie. They made a point multiple times on this panel of stressing that this is going to bring the wars back to Star Wars.
That's really cool. And I'm not sure where it is online, but I saw a link to something where John Knoll responded to someone questioning how big the planet was. And like, he had all this explanations of how they created the teaser and like what size celestial body that planet had to be to make it all work out with the Death Star being so big. And I was like, wow, that's way more math than I could ever care to do. So that made me super jealous. And I wish I'd been there. So what was the reaction to that?
It was hugely positive. It was almost like being in the J.J. Abrams panel again and seeing the Force Awakens trailer for the first time, like the people that were in that arena were so happy that we were seeing anything from this, let alone a teaser like that.
Yeah.
And you can't go wrong by showing people the Death Star. It's just such an iconic Star Unless... Wars thing that it was just amazing. I loved it so much. I could watch that teaser, even though it's 30 seconds, like on a loop for the entire day.
Yeah. Random thought, but as we were waiting to see Avengers yesterday, I was hoping for Force Awakens teaser, and then I thought, when we go see the Force Awakens, we could probably get our first teaser for Rogue One. And Brian said, no, that'll be Overload. And I said, glorious Overload.
I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Yeah, why would you not want that? Star Wars on top of Star Wars. I don't think that's ever happened before. Well, no, it has. Special editions. They showed teaser trailers.
Yeah, but we'd seen Star Wars before. Yeah, we'd seen them before. This is new Star Wars on top of new Star Wars.
And then for Rogue One, we get a trailer for Episode 8.
What a time to be alive.
All right, so that's all the news, unless I missed something.
No, those were the highlights. Okay. The other kind of big portion of the panel that they used to take up the time that they probably would have been using for Trank if he had been there was just talking about Gareth Edwards' history of Star Wars. And there was actually a cute moment where they showed a screen capture of him FaceTiming his mom and telling her that he got a Star Wars directing gig. So that was pretty adorable, seeing how excited she was for her son to be directing a Star Wars movie. And then he took a vacation to Tunisia to visit the Lars homestead.
Yeah.
So you have pictures of him drinking blue milk and things like that.
Yeah. That would be so cool. So now that we're past the news portion, we get into wild NAF speculation time.
It's our favorite thing to do.
Yes, for Star Wars fans. So, the big question is, are we going to see X-Wings or not?
100% definitely yes.
You don't have any doubt at all.
I know that everybody on the internet wants to say, oh, there's not going to be X-Wings, there's not going to be Rogue Squadron, but you don't name something in the Star Wars universe Rogue One and then not have Rogue Squadron in it. That's not how this works.
See, this is why we're friends.
And you don't let Entertainment Weekly do a big profile of Rogue Squadron immediately after it's announced without maybe giving a writer there some heads up that they shouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're going to see Rogue Squadron necessarily, you know. Like, this is...
At the very least, we're going to see the formation of it. It's called Rogue One. That's a call sign.
Yeah. I mean, I can see it ending with that. Like...
Yeah.
Or, you know, red, or even like red. I don't know. Have they done anything in the Star Wars comics about Rogue Squadron yet?
Not yet. No. This would be the first instance of Rogue that we would see in the new canon. If
because
this does
I could
end up
see,
being Rogue Squadron.
Yeah, because I was gonna say I could see like because the Rogue Squadron also that formation is crazy in the expanded universe and doesn't really have a, you know, a formal story of how they formed. Basically, the idea is that it was formed after Yavin sometime with Luke and Wedge. So I could see like them having been the only survivors of Red Squadron wanting to create a new squadron and using Rogue Squadron as the designation in honor of the people that stole the Death Star plans. Or, you know, if any of the people survive Rogue One, they could be people who are on the squadron as well. You know, we don't know. But I would like to read something that you might recognize from the film Star Wars. It is the opening crawl, and it goes like this. It is a period of civil war. Rebel spaceships, striking from a hidden base, have won their first victory against the evil Galactic Empire. During the battle, Rebel spies managed to steal secret plans to the Empire's ultimate weapon, the Death Star. Blah, 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 blah. So, that is pretty much, you know, what we know starts off from, you know, how A New Hope starts off. There's spaceships. They're striking from hidden base. Everyone, they've won their first victory against the Galactic Empire. So there's spaceships in there, definitely. There's a huge battle. You know, obviously this leads to war. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not wrong. So, yeah, spaceships, you know, I mean, it's just, it's clear right there. That's the plot of this movie. And
I think one of the things that people are trying to latch onto is they keep saying the movie is about rebel soldiers,
yeah,
and not about rebel pilots, but they're forgetting that the pilots are rebel soldiers.
Yeah. Well, I think they're forgetting the X-Wing movies as well.
Books. The X-Wing novels.
So yeah. My wishful thinking
is about to be fulfilled in December 2016. But yeah, like you were saying, in the X-Wing novels, they are not always in the X-Wings. They do plenty of groundwork, especially in the Wraith books, where they're half spies.
They're
half
on the ground way more than they're in the X-Wings in the whole series.
Yeah.
And even in, I mean, everyone knows Wraith Squadron is a hybrid group, but even in Rogue Squadron, like, they're not in the air a lot. I mean, they're taking over Coruscant.
They spent almost the entirety of Wedge's gamble on the ground.
Yeah, and I mean, there's that whole plot with Corrin and Arisi, and then there's, you know, Corrin and the Lusankia, and, you know, the Bacta War is, like, them on their own. I mean, to think it has to be, like, Top Gun when they're in the squadron all the time, like, that's not
how Star Wars works.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah. I mean, even like Rogue's, the only appearance in Empire Strikes Back of Rogue Squadron is on a planet, not in space. And there's a reason that they were the ones who defended Echo Base while everyone was getting off, because that's what they do. They do whatever they have to do. You know, they don't fly just X-Wings. They fly everything. That's why they're a Rogue Squadron.
I saw someone on Twitter a little while ago say that it would be ridiculous to take pilots and have them be involved in any kind of ground action. And that's completely ignoring like 90% of Star Wars, where look at Return of the Jedi. Luke and Han are easily two of the best pilots in the Rebellion. And Luke and Han are going down to Endor to take out a shield generator.
It's ignoring Luke Skywalker's existence, like, that they would let him, like, he should be in leading the attack. Like, he should have been Wedge in that battle, but he decided.
The person who's blown up a Death Star.
Yeah, he's done it before, but instead, he went with Han, and the Rebellion leadership let him go with Han.
Rebellion leadership was often really stupid.
So, I mean, obviously, he might not have even have been in a, been a pilot at that point in time. But the point is that he goes down to the ground and he ends up helping win the battle by fighting with a lightsaber and not in a pilot, you know, in an X-Wing. And the person who does blow up the Death Star is someone without the Force. Actually, the two people are people without the Force, so.
Yeah, so I think we'll definitely see X-Wings, but it will 100% be a mix of piloting and ground action, as we've seen from the concept art that they showed at the panel of a bunch of rebel troops running in a rainy scene with what looks like vaguely X-Wing shaped troop carriers flying above them. I just noticed that today, actually, that there are troop carriers.
Ooh, nice. I mean, because they can't, I mean, the entire movie can't be the battle to steal the plans. Obviously, that's going to be the climax of the film. But, I mean, there has to be build up to it where, you know, these soldiers come together and or background as to how they've been working together. There has to be some preliminary battles where they, you know, figure out what they're going to, what they need to do, where the plans are going to be, how they steal them, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this would be the perfect time to have a Imperial defector type character show up. Like, I mean, because how else would they find the plans? Also,
ooh, I want to say things, but it's Rebels season 2 spoilers.
Screw you. Yes, well, that's a good segue because they've mentioned that it's not outside the realm of possibility that there might be Rebels stuff showing up in Rogue One. And I mean, I love Rebels. I don't want Rebels to go on forever because I think that's why it's so good, is that it's tight and isn't filler. But if Rogue One ends up being this, like, the series finale of Rebels, I wouldn't complain. I said if we get, you know, Homicidal Chopper in Rogue One, that would be awesome.
Yeah, they made a point at the panel of saying that they're aware that this movie and Rebels take place in the same time period. And so the benefit of the story group is they can communicate between the animation division and the film division and make these stories work together in a very efficient way.
Yeah.
As opposed to back in the George Lucas days where books and video games and comics and film and animation and everything was working on completely separate pages.
And where
you
get George going, oh, you know, I think we should bring Darth Maul back. he's chopped in half, George. Oh, you figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we'll necessarily see, like, you know, live action Hera in Rebels, although I wouldn't, or in Rogue One, although I wouldn't complain about it. But, I mean,
I think it's more likely to go the other direction, that we would get some Rogue One characters introduced on Rebels.
Yeah.
Especially because the Ghost Crew has two Force sensitive people on it, and they've made a point of talking about how there won't be Jedi in Rogue One. So I could see Rebels introducing Rogue One concepts.
That would be cool. And I mean, or they can just have it be interrelated where the Ghost Crew is off doing something and then that ends up influencing the movie, like with how Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ties into.
Well, depending on how much time is between stealing the plans and A New Hope, Kanan and Ezra could already be dead by the time Rogue One happens.
Well, I mean, A New Hope is Leia with the plans, so obviously Rogue One has to happen pretty close to it.
Exactly.
I mean, she can't be running with the plans forever.
It's like 2 hours before A New Hope.
Yeah. I mean,
you joke, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was only a matter of days before A New Hope.
I wouldn't be surprised if the end of Rogue One is, you know, the Tantive IV coming into view.
I 100% am expecting that to be the ending. I'll probably be disappointed that it isn't, but that's what I have in my head right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought that the prequels needed to end with Obi-Wan, you know, giving baby Luke and the Force theme going. So, you know, I have a good track record of predicting how movies are supposed to end.
You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with predictable when it's predictably awesome.
Yeah. Well, right. This is the whole thing with Ahsoka. Everyone assumed that Fulcrum was Ahsoka, and everyone was right, and it was still awesome. Because of the execution, I mean.
You execute well, and it doesn't matter how obvious it is, it'll work, and it'll be great.
Yeah.
And Star Wars has a history of being kind of obvious anyway.
Yeah.
So go with it. Play to your strengths.
Yeah. So as far as, like, Brian wanted to talk about tropes, because Brian, you always talk about tropes, but, so we already discussed that the pilots aren't necessarily always on the ground. So what else are we going to necessarily, what other things can they bring from the X-Wing books? Because the characters aren't going to be the same. It's a totally different time period. But, I mean, they're taking inspiration, so.
Hang on a second. I'm pulling up the TV tropes page for the X-Wing series.
Of course you are. Well, I mean, there won't be a Corran character because no Force sensitives. But, I mean, we definitely need a leader type character like Wedge.
Who hopefully is Felicity Jones.
I hope so.
That would make me so happy.
Brian.
Like, if she is not Rogue One in this movie, I'm going to be heartbroken.
So, Brian, my husband, Brian.
Hi, that's me.
Should I mention my crackpot every wish theory about Felicity Jones that I told you the other night.
I am absolutely down with you mentioning that theory.
All right. So the other night I couldn't fall asleep. So I ended up talking about Force Awakens for 30 minutes and how I desperately want Rey to be Rey Skywalker and how that could possibly happen. And I said, you know, and how I would be willing to accept, you know, Luke having had children with someone other than Mara Jade. And I said, I would give up Mara Jade if it turns out that Felicity Jones is Rey's mother. And I was like, it could totally happen because they're both in the rebellion. They're off doing separate missions during the movies. So she doesn't necessarily have to be on Hoth and Endor. She could be flying. We don't have to see her. And then her and Luke could just hook up after, you know, Endor or whatever. And, you know, they could tell a story in a book. That's what they do. And
that would be pretty amazing.
And Brian was like looking at me like I was crazy. But I don't think that'll happen. However,
I can dream.
They could do. I mean, you know, it depends on Felicity Jones. What, you know, if they can. I mean, she has dark hair.
So I.
That's my whole reason for this theory. She has dark hair.
Yeah. Going back to the tropes to bring over from the X-Wing book series to this film, mm-hmm. I think obviously the most important trope is the one entitled Badass Normal.
Yes.
Who is Wedge?
Yes. normal people being total badasses. That's what made the X-Wing books great, and that really can and should be the overarching theme for this film. Of course, another great one would be an ascended extra, perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe we get some Garvin Drace in here.
Who?
Red leader.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I could see it. Well, this is also where they might be able to tie into Rebels, because if they have like a character who shows up, you know, on an episode of Rebels, and then they end up being a major character in Rogue One, I mean, that could be cool. I definitely would like. I love the idea of having it be an ensemble film because, like, this is gonna sound funny, but like, Avengers has so many characters, and sometimes it gets a little overwhelming. But I like that they have a lot of characters because it's something for everyone.
They're also well-defined.
And they're different, you know? I mean, they all have their fans. They all have their, you know, they all have, you know, their specialties and their skills. And there's no reason why they can't have a character who's like the demolitions expert or the sniper or, you know.
Yeah, I think it'll be very important for the success of this film to make sure to differentiate people like that instead of just having everybody be a generic soldier.
And this is when diversity would be excellent.
Starting out strong with a female being the first cast member.
I know. And please, I mean, okay, I'm not one to, you know, decry romance. I like romance, but please have there not be any sort of romance in this movie. Please.
Please. No time for it in Death Star.
There is no time for it. There's time for it on the Ghost. There's not any time for it here. So someone's going to die in a horrifying manner, right? And we're all going to cry.
Oh, yeah. There's going to definitely be a tragic, tragic death.
Like, you know, we're going to have a ton and a face. It's going to be sad.
There's going to be a character who has a death wish that gives his life to save the others. And it's going to be really tragic.
Yeah, it's going to be sad. What else? What other tropes?
The cameo, I think, is a good one for this film.
Mm, Well, if they end with the Chanavy 4, they could have Leia cameo. I mean, even if they just have someone in a white dress from behind, you know. Yeah. Bail Organa.
They could totally get Jimmy Smits for 5 minutes.
I don't see why they could not have him. Like, I'm sure he would come back to do it. Who else? Mon Mothma.
That would be good. I would like to see a young Mon Mothma.
Yeah, or Ackbar.
I'm actually hoping to see Ackbar on Rebels since they're bringing in B-Wings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole them keeping the Mon Cal origins of the B-Wing has me hopeful.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to see like Mon Mothma or Bail Organa or someone, like some sort of strategist. I mean, this would be a good time. Well, no, I think Rebels would be better to bring in Bella Bliss because he's kind of off doing his own thing. But like, or someone like a card type character, like kind of like a neutral person who's passing on the information. The Bothan Spies.
I mean, if we're drawing inspiration from the books, we were talking earlier about how it would be stupid to, how people said it would be stupid to have pilots be soldiers. Well, yeah, that's well established as being very true. In all of Star Wars, pilots and soldiers are pretty interchangeable. So, play it up. Let's borrow from the Wraith Squadron books and say that this rogue outfit is a highly specialized pilot commando hybrid unit.
Yeah. Brian, what sorts of things are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to, like I said earlier, the no Jedi and the shades of gray.
What is your wish list like? And it could be crackpot, like me thinking, you know, Felicity Jones is Rey's mom. Like, be crazy.
I haven't even really thought that much about the details. I'm just so excited about the concept that I haven't been able to narrow it down that much. I would love to see more than one awesome space battle.
You know,
we usually get one really cool space battle per Star Wars movie. And I would like to just see as much awesome space or, you know, in atmosphere, whatever, starfighter combat as possible. Those have been the highlights for me of the Force Awakens trailers, is seeing those X-Wings flying above that water. Mm-hmm. So the more ships that I see, the happier I will be.
I was just thinking that we've never really seen a battle that goes from ground to air or vice versa.
It's usually just one or the other.
That would be really cool to see, like, a battle that starts in space and then ends up going to the planet. Or, you know, starting off on the ground and then going into the air, which would make sense as far as, you know, ending the movie, because if they're stealing the plans, they might be on a planet and then they have to go. Something else that I think would be really cool that we haven't really seen is a battle that's on the ground but in a ship. You know, like, I mean, we see, like, kind of like the Chanavy 4, they board the ship, but like something very spy like where they're sneaking through corridors and taking over a ship. Like,
oh, I've got something.
Yeah.
I got something.
You got something?
I want a novelization. And I want Mike Stackpole to write it.
Ah,
yes, please, yes.
Don't get my hopes. He's written.
In my head, they already have him on contract for it.
He's already written novelizations. So I just don't know if he. Ugh. I would also accept John Jackson Miller.
Yes, but.
Well, you can't go wrong there.
It would just be so poetically beautiful to have Mike.
I know.
It would also be awesome if he got to have a small little extra role in the film.
I really want him and Tim to be pilot. That's what he always says. He just wants to be a pilot in the background. They can kill him, you know, whatever.
They can be the new Porkins. It'll be great.
if they can get, what was his name in Winter Soldier? the comic creator.
Brubaker?
Yes, if they can get Ed Brubaker five frames in Winter Soldier, they can get Tim and Mike five frames in Rogue One.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about that. That's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just like, I'm just thinking of all these like cool ideas, like when I would read the X-Wing books and just get, you know, try to visualize the action in my mind. And like the one, which book was it when Kasten died? Was that Iron Fist or was it Wraith Squadron? I can't remember.
No, it wasn't Wraith Squadron.
But it's when they were like, they were taking over, like, you know, they were taking over the ship and like going through and like that sort of thing is just like,
it was either Iron Fist or Solo Command.
Yeah, but like that, just that whole idea of like taking over the ship from the inside is really, really cool. And also I'm trying to figure out how exactly they will go about stealing the Death Star plans. Like, how are the Death Star plans stored? Is it on a flash drive? Is it on a disc? Like, how what is the portable storage in Star Wars? And I just keep thinking, going back to, like, how did they get it in the first place? Like, how do they figure out where it is? Because, I mean, I don't think the Empire has copies of these all over the place. I don't. Not.
Yeah, you would assume that it's under lock and key pretty tight.
Yeah, which is why I keep coming back to the idea of like a informant, you know, or someone, you know, someone going undercover.
Watch Rebels season 2.
Ah! You suck.
They're starting to hint at things.
I guess I'll watch Rebels season 2.
If I have to.
If I have to. So yeah. Any more rampant speculation tropes?
I want to hear what Brian had to say about bounty hunters.
Oh yeah. Yes.
So right after that press conference, there were a couple news outlets that just started tweeting, confirmed Rogue One will be about bounty hunters. And I'm thinking to myself,
think confirmed means what you think it
means. Yeah, first, that doesn't mean what you think it means. And second, where did they talk about bounty hunters at all during that panel?
Did they
anything about bounty hunters?
Never heard those words.
I mean, if they're stealing Death Star plans, there definitely will not be a Boba Fett in it because he's working for the Empire. Unless he's hunting them down, which, you know, no. I mean,
this is not going to be the Boba Fett movie.
I could see them having, like, that type of character, but it has to be someone that would work for the Rebellion. And I don't think they would because the Rebellion doesn't have any money. So, I mean, that's why I keep thinking of it would be better to have like a neutral character. Like, it would make more sense to have someone like Card or who is just, you know,
but just a general mercenary.
Yeah, mercenary type.
But they're only going to be on the periphery.
Yeah. Or I mean, even someone like Han in the beginning of A New Hope. Maybe they could have Dash Rendar.
Oh no. But I mean, they talked up the war film angle so much that you can't.
They're really stressing it. Yeah, a lot of their crew is worked on films like Saving Private Ryan and Black Hawk Down.
And you don't play that angle up and have it be about bounty hunters.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that it's not going to become, oh, who can we get in this movie? Like, you know, if we see Leia, like, literally the only thing I want to see is, like, her white dress.
Yeah, I'm expecting most of it to be brand new characters or characters introduced on Rebels with the, you know, express intent of putting them in Rogue One.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, if there's characters like Bail Organa or, like, Mon Mothma, like, those are more minor characters. So they're not going to end up taking over the movie. And it would be really interesting to see like who is in charge of this group of soldiers, like what outfit they fall under. Like, is it, you know, Starfighter Command? Was it a different branch of the military? Like, I love the idea that we might see more canonization of how the Rebel Alliance military structure works.
Because, and it wouldn't be surprising for them to pull that from the EU either. They've already pulled so much Imperial structure into Rebels.
Well, I mean, they could pull it, but make it better because, oh my God, it's stupid. Like, go on Wikipedia and try to research, like, the Rebellion command structure and military, and it makes no sense whatsoever. Like, I mean, I love the Rogue Squadron books, don't get me wrong, but the hierarchy of Starfighter Command makes no sense.
That's true.
That they're generals and, like, you know, like, what are they, what are they doing?
A general doing flying combat?
Yeah, makes no sense.
Whatever he wants to do, he's Wedge Antilles.
Yeah. I go back and forth to it. Would I want to see, like, Wedge in this movie? But then I think we could get a different character that's just
awesome.
Yeah,
I don't think we'll see Wedge.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't object, but, you know. I mean, I think they need a Wedge analog.
They could get Wedge, though, in at the end as they're limping away, stealing the Death Star plans. They get an X-Wing escort. And one of the pilots identifies themselves as Flight Officer Antilles.
I just had a thought.
Do tell.
The Rand Ecliptic. They could move that.
They could.
They could move it and have that be involved somehow.
What if one of the defectors off the Rand Ecliptic knows of the Death Star plans, and that's what puts the movie in motion?
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's not in the movie, but, like, Biggs talks to Luke about defecting, and that takes place before we see, you know, the battle over Tatooine.
Right.
And then, you know, a few days later, he's with the Rebellion. So, I mean, there's no reason why they couldn't place that, you know, before the movie and have them know of the plans.
That would be interesting.
I'd be all for that idea. Just all for it.
Mainly, I just like the idea of someone from the Empire being that, but I'm gonna be quiet because I have to watch Rebels, apparently.
I mean, they don't go into, like, great detail on this stuff, but there's starting to be hints of Imperials and Death Stars even stronger than we've seen so far.
Well, my theory, this is getting away from Rogue One, is that Minister Tua might have a change of heart, because the look on her face after the Inquisitor chopped those two guys' heads off was not a happy one.
Oh. You might not be disappointed with the premiere.
Sweet! I mean, I'm not going to be disappointed anyway, but yeah. Brian's playing with a toy B-Wing right now, by the way.
Because I can.
This is the only time I could say that and you won't get embarrassed, because everyone listening will be like, yeah, that's right. That's right. I understand.
So, any last parting thoughts on Rogue One?
Just that the concept of it being a war movie and about soldiers is about 1,000 times better than a young Han Solo movie would be.
Oh my God, yes.
So, I think that this being the first anthology film that they're doing is really important in showing that they're not just going to necessarily go those expected routes of an origin story for an existing character, like everyone was saying a year ago.
And I think that's why we were so excited about that when we heard the movie was called Rogue One. I mean, the idea of it being a Rogue Squadron movie was really exciting, but also it was that it's not one of those other rumored stories that are really boring.
Exactly.
I mean, like, the only way I would find the Han Solo origin story interesting is if they did his time at the Academy. That's the only way I'd find it interesting. And yeah.
X-Wings and Soldiers. I'm sold.
100%.
I mean, like you, every time I see those X-Wings flying in the Force Awakens teaser, it just, it makes me so happy. And I'm like, and I, you know, the other day I paused to see, count how many X-Wings there were. And then I'm like, oh, if we get more, like, and not just one battle, but multiples. That'd be so great.
So happy. All right. Well, let's wrap it up there. Hey, Brian, where can we find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Brian_NOV, and then hopefully more on EU Cantina in the near future.
Because it looks like we're getting book stuff, lot of it soon.
So excited for Aftermath.
So excited.
It's going to be amazing. All right. Well, this episode of Tosche Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links. Help us keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tosche_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinRe, on Facebook. We're the Tosche Station Network. You can find us on Stitcher and the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tosche-Station.net. Nancy, what's our next show?
We will be discussing all about the publishing news on Monday with Megan from Blogful of Words.
Fantastic. Catch you all next week.
Bye.
So long.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of ToscheStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tosche Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.